everybody, and welcome back to another edition of the Latin Babbler Show. It's going to be another great one. We had a lot of fun with Uno, Dos, Tres, Andres last week, and this week is packed with amazing guests and topics. We showcase a great new up-and-coming artist from New York, Brian Fernandez, introduce our amazing artist spotlight, Camilo Sanchez, and his new project, Monocoy, with his debut single, Abre los ojos y grita. And finally, our main guest, Cristina Malacay, who is number one on the iTunes Spain and whose song Distancia was a big hit in last week's episode. She will be joined by the team that put together the award-winning music video, producer Marcus Bellringer Bell, award-winning director music video Stephanie Rojos, and is there a real representation in the Latinx community? We're going to find out tonight. But first, let's bring in the crew. Tigera, what is up? I saw that you were jet skiing.
Well, everybody keeps saying to do social distancing, so that's what I did. I went by myself in my backyard. I went jet skiing. Far away from everybody. It was beautiful.
By myself.
I want to go again.
For myself.
Yeah, by myself.
With myself.
Yeah.
In the water. Now, Ms. Rocky, you got an upgrade on your phone.
I sure did. I got the new iPhone 12. Woo, woo.
And you mentioned you had to teach your 75-year-old mother how to use an Android. Now, how was that experience?
Oh, my God. It was painful. But she got it. Thank God. She's on it now. So we're all in the Android and iPhone. I was trying to get her on the iPhone, but she chose not to. So Android it is.
I have a question. We're on lockdown here in California, and I noticed something. I moved from New Jersey to California, and I'm noticing that every time I go to Starbucks, the experience has been completely different from New York to California. When I was in New York, the people were rude. They would basically be looking at you, asking you, hey, what else do you need? Is that all? Do you want anything else? Like, those were literally the things coming out of the, you know, the sound machine where you put in your order. Here in California, it's completely different. They are like, oh, is there anything else that you would like with that? And then when you get to the window, they have this whole, like, I think must be scripted because they all ask the same thing. You know, how was your day? What else are you going to be doing? Have you guys experienced that in Miami? Like, which one do you guys have?
Well, we have a little bit of both. It depends the day and what mood they're in when you get through the drive-thru. But I'm going to be honest with you. California does have nice customer service. Very nice over there. They say good morning to you.
Absolutely.
Good afternoon. Here, they're nice to you on Friday.
I got to the point where...
TGIF.
You know, it could be a Monday morning, and I get to the point where I have to, like, tell them I got to go because they will continue a whole conversation, and by the time I finish, I've given them my whole work schedule for the day. I mean, they can get you into it, and you still, you'll have your drink.
They already got your Instagram account. You got their Facebook and everything already.
Yeah, I mean, we're following each other. It's a vacation, so it's amazing, but all I have to say is those people in New York and on the East Coast... Got a lot to think about. You know, if you guys disagree with what I'm saying, by all means, change who you are.
I'm testimony to that. Definitely. They're very nice in Cali, especially your Starbucks.
My Starbucks was amazing. Ms. Rocky, you were here. You saw
it,
right?
I did.
It's amazing.
That's it.
It's amazing. We're going to have to get them on the show and just have them give us coffee.
Absolutely.
So, all right. Well, let's get this thing going. Dig it out. Give us our celebrity highlight of the show.
Well, you guys all know that Selena, the series, premiered this month on Netflix. So the release of the Selena series during a pandemic at a time that everybody is facing a massive reset got everybody thinking and over-evaluating themselves now. And basically, Selena was showing people that not to quit on your dreams and to keep going. And she also, I just realized that Selena, she paved way for the 21st century Latinas. She was the one that she refused to just be talented in one thing. She wanted to be a designer. She wanted to be an actress, a singer. And she opened doors for like J-Lo and other Latinas out there that are kicking butt as we speak. And, you know, unfortunately, it sucks because a lot of the Latinas that are out there had to be struggling with their, you know, struggling with the culture identity. So I really liked it. I mean, I didn't watch it, but when I read into it and I started paying attention to it, I had forgotten about that Selena was like that and that she did open a lot of doors for people. Now, you guys all know, because you guys have listened to the show, I don't watch Netflix. But I know one of my girls was watching, Miss Rocky, and I want to get her thoughts about the Netflix series.
Well, where do I begin? Some things just need to be untouched. Like, I get Selena when it came out, when Miss J-Lo did it. She did a phenomenal job. I think the movie was great. Now, this is more of a series. but it was painful to watch. I'll be honest.
I heard a lot of bad reviews.
It really was bad. And she's the girl from The Walking Dead, which I really enjoy The Walking Dead, and I think she does great in it. But it's a shame, too, because it's the Quintanilla families behind this. But I just really thought they could have done a way better job. However, it's, like I said, movie versus the series. The series, it really goes in depth into her life and how things really started and how AB was a part of a lot of it. And the dad really pushed, you know, him to find people, musicians and producers. And it was a lot of that. So for those that still want to watch it, go ahead. But I give it a 1.5. That's how bad it was.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm hearing the same things. I'm hearing that it's not really all that great. A lot of controversy with it. A lot of issues with it. So why don't we just say that you can go watch it, make a decision for yourself. We respect all opinions. And if you're interested in sharing some of those opinions with us, you can do it on our Facebook group. All you got to do is look for the Latin Babbler community group, and we're going to be there. But you know what? This week, I was introduced to an up-and-coming artist, and his name is Brian Fernandez. And he is a 20-year-old Dominican from Washington Heights that is currently attending the School of Visual Arts in New York City. Through my daughter, I was able to speak with Brian about his journey, and I want to share a little bit with you that now. All right, Brian, welcome to the Latin Babbler Show. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Sun's out, New York City. I'm just enjoying the day.
So now you are 20 years old. You're from Washington Heights. Were you always into art, or is it something that's like running your family?
I only started making art towards like the end of my second year in high school. And that just came from me needing an outlet in life. Granted, my generation, you know, with my sisters and my cousins, yeah, they had an interest in art, but none of them really decided to pursue it with the exception of me. So, you know, to really answer, both of them are honestly no's.
When did you decide to make the decision to go to the School of Visual Arts in New York City?
But what made SVA ideally is because I was like, if I'm going to do this art thing, why not give it my all? Go to a place that's dedicated to, instead of going to like a regular public university, not saying that those are bad, but since I want to really dive headfirst into this path of an art school, I figured why not go to like one of the best in the city?
Their sole purpose is art. Like, I mean, every single department that they have, every single program that they have, it's very art oriented. All the programs from beginning to end, from freshman all the way to senior, they're just throwing you right in there, right?
Exactly. So I'm like, why not just do this instead of going through like, you know, Hunter or like City College, where I do these prerequisites, where I focus more of my time academically on other subjects that are just not relevant to my practice. So that's literally what ended up happening when I went to SVA.
Now, your family, we're Dominican, so we all know how this works. Was your family very supportive of you that you decided to go into art, or did they do what they did to me, which is, you know, go into doctorship and become a lawyer and become something, you know, that they can deem important?
It took me like my senior year to like start winning like, I guess, achievements from my art for them to be like, okay, this is legit. Because they were doing the same exact thing with me, like, oh, be a doctor, better yet, be a police officer, like do something like that. And it didn't take until like I won like one stuff from my art and like sold a piece. It was only like $50 for them to be like, okay, I dinero aquí.
He's like, I'm going to be able to contribute. See, I sold a couple of paintings.
That's exactly what happened.
Now, you are president of the Latinx Club. It's called La Bodega, SVA. How did that come about?
Oh, boy. Okay. So, funny story. The club started back before I even started SVA with a man by the name of John Rivas and a man by the name of Carlos Vela. And basically, both fine arts seniors, and they were like, we want a space for Latinos. So for like 3 years before I got in there, they opened it up. By the time I got in there, though, the club had like kind of like plateaued and died down. And towards them, they're under their senior year, they had to give up the club. Carlos Flower told me that, yo, we were talking and like, we saw that you, as the most active member, should take it over and run it. And I took it. I'll be honest, I didn't know what to expect from this. I had a whole summer and I had to wait till sophomore year to start for like me to actually like start doing stuff. And I just like kind of just went with the motions, went with the flow, did stuff as it went on. And over time, you know, we sustained ourselves. And I can say that like now we're like, we're in a pretty good spot right now, if I'm going to be honest. I could say that.
Well, that's good. I mean, do you foresee that it's going to grow into something bigger? Have you already found your Padawan that you're going to be passing it on to when you graduate?
Oh, wow. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Once this COVID thing's over, like, we'll be good. We'll be bougie. We'll be, like, chilling. We'll be bringing country club at the meetings next time. Like, it's going to be good. It's going to be good.
The country club. And for those people who are listening who have absolutely no idea what we're talking about, it is the most delicious soda on the planet. I suggest that you go to the bodega and try it out. You're now a third year student at School of Visual Arts. Explain your art to me, because when you and I spoke, you said it was a Dominican diaspora that is found in the United States and examines the Dominican U.S. culture in connection with the island and beyond. A lot of people don't understand that there's more to our culture than what they see walking down the street from Dominicans, you know, here in the United States.
Honestly, it started out because as someone who lives in Washington Heights, I really big Dominican community. I was just getting tired of like how we portray as these like loudmouth Latinos who play baseball, only talk about Latinos. And it's like, come on, man. Like, I'm not saying that like those aren't part of our culture, but to say that represents us entirely, I'm like, that's a little ridiculous. So it honestly started out with me like this. Wanting, you know, showcase what an actual Dominican community looks like, you know, going outside, going to like things that I typically see among Dominicans, like, you know, a game of domino or capicat 25, or like, you know, the coco helado cards that you always see in the city, like, oh, like those,
right?
You already know. The reaction was just like, among my Dominican peers, they were like, yo, this is hot, this is fire. So ever since, I was just wondering, like, you know, what can I do to explore, you know, where we came from, you know? So like, right now, I'm doing stuff on the U.S. Dominicans, the ones that were born and raised here. But like, eventually I want to, you know, go to the point where like I go back to the island for like a good couple weeks or even months and like actually, you know, like capture the culture there, like maybe compare and contrast them from the ones on the island to the ones in the United States. And, you know, even see the origins of the Dominican Republic, where we came from, you know. Tired of people just thinking of Aventura. I'm like, nah. Think of like the people in the street, the people who have these homes, the people who are building these communities and like what they're actually like, and respect them for it instead of falling in line with like, I'm not trying to diss anyone, but like, I don't want them to like interpret things like Perolaik or like Remezcla as like the only ways you can like see Hispanic culture. Like, I want like, when Dominicans in particular, I want you to like actually see who we are, not just the stereotypes or the comedic aspects of it too. So
your works is currently being shown in an exhibition. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
So it's called The Privilege of Getting Together. It's at Gallery Regular Normal, brand new. It was set up by my man, Danny Bays, from the Dominican Republic, so he's an islander who's kicking ass in the United States. And basically, I think the idea was that, you know, because of COVID, he kind of wanted us to like, literally like embrace the fact that we can get together again, even in like this new normal, you know. We can get together, we can like discuss art. And although the artwork may not be connected in its content, a lot of the times you'll notice that, you know, there's still dialogue because it's like, this is kind of stuff made during quarantine too. This is kind of what we were like reminiscing for, like kind of imageries that we were seeing. And it's a really good show. It's a really good show. Oddly enough, it lives up to the name Regular Normal. You know, this kind of is the normal that we're dealing with, but like, it's just, you have to see it. That's the best way to describe it, because like, this is very lovely. It's a very lovely setting.
And if you're in New York, where is it? It's 76 Browery Street. It's in Lower Manhattan.
Yep, right in Chinatown.
Ooh, that's good. So you can go see art and then go eat.
Oh.
All right, so let me ask you one more question. And I've spoken to a lot of artists and a lot of musicians. Where do you see art in general going towards in the future?
You know, that's a very good question. That's a very good question. I, for one, do see that we will, like, abandon. Now, understand, I'm a Dominican, an Afro-Latino in particular. So I look at, like, from that island perspective, my perspective in the United States. I see that, you know, we will continue to, like, abandon this whole traditional European style of art. You know, it's kind of like, hey, we're tired of seeing this abstract stuff like that. We're tired of seeing, like, these Jeff Koons or these Damien Hirst. We want to see some, like, good quality art from these other racial groups. So I think in terms of content, we'll be seeing more artists of these different backgrounds examining them. And two, from what I've noticed currently in the trends, I think like in the next 10 years, we'll like be continuing to see these nice figurative pieces, you know, where it's like featuring the human body, the figure, the black body, the Latino body, the Asian body, etc. And I think we're just going to go to a place where it's going to be more inclusive to people from other backgrounds and hopefully more accepting of these new artists. Because it was only 10 years ago in like the 2010s when like there was like starting to be like shows about the Caribbean, the shows about African American.
Yeah, very true.
And we still got a long way to go. You know, we're only getting started. So I think like in the next future, we'll see more inclusivity to these other groups, especially the Latino.
So I'm hoping that art kind of paves the way, because I've seen that in art, there is starting to be a movement where you're starting to see a lot of Afro-American art, Afrocentric art, Dominican art, you know, just Latino and Jero art. So I think that hopefully you guys are able to pave the way for that and, you know, kick open the door so that everybody else sees, hey, look what these guys are doing. Why can't we do the same in this industry? That's just my thoughts, though. Now, you're internshiping, right?
Mm-hmm. I am. I'm working with bigger up-and-coming Dominican artist Stephanie Alfonseca, and it's amazing. It's amazing. Jesus. It's like, I'm learning so much about, like, the art world in terms of, like, the business stuff and, like, how to, like, do more paintings that, like, show my ideas better about the Dominican experience and such, where it's like, whoa, gosh. Very amazing experience. Shout out to Tiffany.
Where do you see yourself after you graduate SVA?
Ooh, it's one of them deep questions. It's one of them deep questions right now. Diablo. You know, I'm going to take into consideration the fact that COVID will be gone by then. So we'll be back to normal. But honestly, in like 5 to 10 years from now, you know, I think by then I should be able to like, you know, master a little bit more of my practice. And by then I do see myself having actually gone to the Dominican Republic to like actually like examine the culture over there, expanding my art in that sense. Obviously, I'm probably going to be like selling work, of course. We don't want another Vincent Van Gogh right now where like I die broke. Nah.
All right, man. Well, the future is bright for you, Brian. The art show is called The Privilege of Getting Together. It is on 76 Bowery Street in Lower Manhattan. Brian, if they wanted to see your work, where can they go see it?
You can also my Instagram, Brian Fernandez Studio. You're going to tell it to me. I'm like, I said, like, I'm the most Dominican artist you might meet.
Well, thank you for being on the show. You have a great evening.
Thank you so much. And igual.
Now, he's got the most Dominican voice you can possibly get.
Seriously?
You guys can all agree on that. Sounds like every uncle I know. Oh, yo puro freco, man.
Is he related to you?
And his works are currently being displayed at the Privilege of Getting Together show located on 76 Bowery Street in Lower Manhattan. Also, don't forget to add him. He's on Instagram at Brian Fernandez Studio. And Miss Rocky, you got something Latino.
So guys, the holidays are upon us and we all have different traditions. Are they specific things that we eat or drink? Being a Latina raised by a Colombian mother and a Cuban father, we celebrated Christmas more like the American way. We had either the honey ham, turkey roast, or a roast beef with all the fixings. But one thing Colombian we did have was buñuelos and chocolate caliente. We also like to put cheese in our hot chocolate. I know, it sounds weird, but don't knock it till you try it. Coquito and crema de vie is also a staple in the Puerto Rican and Cuban household. But do not forget about that roast pork and la caja china, and especially those pasteles. All so good that something Latino just made me so hungry.
Well, I love me some coquito.
For sure.
Definitely some coquito.
Pasteles, acapurria, everything, guineito.
Oh, pernil. Give me the pernil. That's right there. And if El Bojique was here, he'd be telling you about those pasteles. So.
For sure.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to get some this year. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. So, Tigra, you have this week's very special artist spotlight.
We have Project Monocoy. This week's artist spotlight is an LA-based Colombian musician producer, Camilo Sanchez. He's a member of the audiovisual collective Monitor and was a guest musician of the Latin Grammy Award-winning band Diamante Eléctrico. He now embarks on a solo project called Monocoy, which is influenced by a universe of sounds and experiences throughout his career. Abre los ojos y grita is the first track of his experimental journey. The song gives a positive message to all the people who suffer from anxiety, depression, or suicidal thoughts. Here's Abre los Ojos y Grita by Camilo Sánchez.
Hello, everyone. This is Monocoy, and you are listening to Abre los Ojos y Grita on the Latin Barber Show.
Sientes que la puerta no se vuelve a abrir. Crees que tocarla va a ser un error otra vez. Piensas alrededor que lo bueno ya no vuelve a pasar. Consecuencia y fragilidad atrapados en un mismo lugar. Haz a un lado las heridas que dejó el pasado en tu caminar. No estás solo y te hace bien recordar. La catarsis es libertad.
Abre los ojos y grita.
Flotas y vuelves a caer de pie. En el laberinto hacia la realidad natural. Por la carretera siempre aparece una señal. Escuchar de nuevo la voz manejando hacia lo imposible. Haz a un lado las heridas que dejó el pasado en tu caminar. No estás solo y te hace bien recordar. La catarsis es libertad.
Abre los ojos y grita.
Ahora ves que los fantasmas no están y te encuentras el corazón
que late más fuerte.
Date cuenta, respirar está bien. No hay lugar a la confusión.
Abre los ojos y grita.
La y toma el papel y escribe la hora. No pares de correr y de soñar. Ya no serás de los callados. Heridas que dejó el pasado en tu caminar.
Absurdo deseo.
No estás solo y te hace bien recordar. La catarsis es libertad.
Abre los ojos y grita.
Ahora ves que los fantasmas no están y te encuentras el corazón
que late más fuerte.
Date cuenta, respirar está bien. No hay lugar a la confusión.
Abre los ojos y grita. Abre los ojos y grita.
All right, so that was Camilo Sánchez with Abre los Ojos y Grita. And we had the pleasure of speaking with Camilo Sánchez on his new project, Monocoy. So we welcome to the show Camilo Sánchez. Camilo, how are you, man?
Hello, guys. Hello, everyone. Thanks for having me today. I'm really happy, really happy.
What inspired you to become a musician?
Wow, many things. You know, when I was growing up in Colombia, my family, they gave me a guitar. When I played for the first time the guitar, I felt like, okay, I want to do this for the rest of my life.
Did you study music growing up or?
Yeah. I studied music professionally, talking in the university. In fact, since I was a child, you know, I was studying in a college in Colombia that they have like a connection with the Institute of Arts in my town, that is Tunja. Tunja is another city in Colombia. So yeah, man, I studied there, and then I moved to Bogota, the capital in Colombia, and I studied music with jazz emphasis, like guitar. All my life studying music.
Now you've decided to do kind of a solo career, and then your first project is called Monokoi. What is Project Monokoi?
Yeah, Monokoi is a project that literally jumped into the void. Because I'm composer. I have another project in Colombia called Monitor. It's a collective, it's an arts collective. And I'm composer, but this is the first time that I'm singing. So that is a big deal. That is a big challenge for me. I decided to start this project, you know, due to this weird year. And of course, because I have some shows. I had some shows here in the States. But of course, for this, everything is, we are waiting for the next year. We don't know. So yeah, I have a lot of time to do music. And okay, I'm singing, you know, and okay, I can do that. So it was like a decision to do some difference. And I think that really, I'm really happy to finally can do that, you know, because it's sometimes you overthink a lot and okay, probably next year or probably, you know, but yeah, no, times is now and you have to do now.
The song is Abre los ojos y grita. Yes. And it's unique in that it has so many instruments. What inspired you to write the song? But even more unique, it addresses mental anxiety, depression, and more, which in this day and age, you know, we were just talking about COVID-19. What is special about the song that it just came to you?
Last year, as I said before, I was living in Australia. I was living in Melbourne. I was with a person that I met there. She's from Korea, South Korea. So she was passing for a weird day, you know, like anxiety, like a depression moment. So suddenly I met her, and then we have the opportunity to talk. And I was like, hey, don't worry. If you have that moments in your mind, just go out running, open your eyes and scream, you know? So I started to write this song in Melbourne, literally, for that story, because last year everything was okay, you know? I mean, we are not thinking about COVID, pandemic, no, like normal situation. So I started to write this song there. And I moved to LA last year, literally 1 year ago. During this year, I was in a beach near to LA with my flatmates. So we are like looking at beautiful, beautiful sunset in a mountain. We realized that near to that mountain, we could see like some messages, you know, like don't give up, your life matters. When I realized that, okay, this mountain, many people, you know, have tried to kill themselves. So it was a shock, you know, like, wow. So immediately I connected with the lyric that I started to write in Australia. And then I arrived to my home, I turned on my computer, and then, yeah, man, just like feeling to finish that song and to change some things. And I'm thinking to put like a happy music, you know. I mean, I didn't want it to put like a ballad or, you know, like kind of song like sad song, you know. I just like, okay.
Yeah, that would inspire more depression, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, like okay, yeah, okay. This song is positive. When you listen to this song, you can see the lyrics and this song is positive, you know. So that's the thing that I wanted to do, that I wanted to put on the song, you know, like talking about this moment that sometimes, you know, people don't want to talk about this, you know. And yeah, man, I mean, anxiety and depression is a normal situation for everyone, you know. And of course, in this year, more than others. So yeah, but at the end, it's a positive song, positive vibe. So yeah, that was like the story behind.
You can watch the full interview on our website as well as www.latinbabbler.com. And his song is available now on Spotify, Apple Music, Diesel, Tidal, and Amazon Music.
All right, everybody. And our guest for this evening is singer, songwriter, producer, radio broadcaster, and actress from Barcelona, Spain. She charted number one in iTunes Spain with the project Los Peces de Cristina, which was well received by the national TV and radio outlets, and it started her tour, which led to over 100 shows across Europe and beyond. Her new song, Distancia, was featured in last week's Artist Spotlight, and the video won Best Video Best Director, and Best Editor in the IndieX Film Festival. We will also have very special guests who will join later on the show, producer Marcus Bellringer Bell and the director of the music video, Stephanie Rojas. Christina, welcome to the Latin Babbler Show.
Hi. Hello. How are you guys?
Doing good. Doing
Hello,
very
welcome.
Good. We're really excited about having you on the show, especially last week. Everybody's been loving the song Distancia. Like, it went wild. A lot of people were jumping at it, were asking us where it was from. So it's really good stuff.
Whoa, thank you. I'm glad to hear that. I'm very excited to be here, and I'm glad to hear that people are loving the song already.
So now you're originally from Spain. Now the number one iTunes in Spain, the project with Los Peces de Cristina, did you think that you would get that kind of response?
No, but of course you're working like hard every day to get some, you know, something from your effort and work. So that was a very good surprise and a very good to enjoy.
How did you celebrate?
Well, just telling to everybody and like, of course, like thanking everybody, because that's like without people giving you the support, like the followers, the media, without that, it wouldn't have been possible.
Christina, being multi-talented, which one do you enjoy doing the most? Acting, singing, producing, or doing radio?
I love everything. Everything has something special, depending on the moment. But of course, I find myself first as a singer and a music-driven person, you know, like singer-songwriter.
So now your first album was El Tiempo Que Guardé, and that was produced by you and Marco Morcione. Is that how you pronounce his last name?
Yes, Marco Morcione. Yeah,
Morcione, okay.
Morcione. Gotta put that Morcione. Yes.
Yeah, he's Italian, but he's based in Spain, like doing a lot of things for indie, well-known artists in Spain. Marco Morcione, but he's based in Barcelona. That's so cool. And the second album was also produced by an Italian, Marco Tinelli. So
nice.
I don't know. And Marco. And now I'm working with Marco, so I'm going from Marco to Marco.
Definitely.
That's so funny.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So what was it like to record your first album?
Surprisingly easy / challenging, because I knew exactly what I wanted. And funny enough, all the musicians were telling me like, okay, just tell me what you want, like direct me. Even if they were like playing with number one artists, I was like, okay, I have to tell this guy who is a super professional what I want. So that was interesting, very challenging, but I had very clear what I wanted. So from there, I am like, okay, let's just keep doing music, and I love it.
I love the album. You have a song called Bajo Mi Piel, which we're going to play right now for the audience to hear.
Oh,
That was a beautiful song.
Thank you. Wow. Yeah, that was the first single I released.
Very seductive, you know.
Yes. Nice. Definitely.
You know, you listen to that at night, you're drinking a glass of wine, and one wine a day, Christina's song will turn around and put you on your way.
Definitely.
Yeah, by Valentine's Day.
Yes.
Anniversary.
That's it. Christina, dime, what inspired the song?
So actually I was doing the song in English and in Catalan, funny enough. And actually it has a music video. If you guys want to watch it, everybody who's listening, they can go to my YouTube channel, Christina Malacay. And I did it like on a beach in Barcelona. And I think it was inspired, you know, just the concept of being kind of like with no mask and just talking about being underneath your skin. So it's kind of passionate, if that makes sense, but also it's like I'm not hiding anything.
And now the new album you mentioned is called Sky. One of the songs on the album is Somebody Else. Tell me a little bit more about it.
Yeah, I think that's one of my favorite songs in the album. Like sometimes we are in a lot of situations that you would like to be somebody else to do a bunch of things. You know, it can be do something like better or just to be like, oh, I don't want to be in this place or I just want to be in another world or dimension. You know, so when I was writing it, I was imagining like another dimension kind of thing. I know it's very like philosophical, but that's what I was thinking about, you know, like being somebody else in order to be with you. For example, imagine that you are in another world or imagine that you passed away like this deep, you know. So imagine that you say like, OK, I wish I could be somebody else to be in your world and be with you. So it can kind of like it's a little bit general.
I mean, I don't think it's that general. I think it makes sense. I think there's a lot of people who wish they were someplace else at some other time.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's very important for us to sometimes feel like we need to be someplace at some other time because it gives us kind of a way to escape from what we're going through on everyday reality. So I love this song, but go ahead and introduce it for me.
This is Somebody Else from the album Sky, and I'm Christina Malacay. Enjoy it.
Sky and my body lays so numb. Something calls me to escape again from myself. Like a haunted soul floating. Tonight to be someone else.
That's a nice song.
Yeah. Incredible.
Thank you, guys.
I have to be very honest with you. It's extremely amazing to hear your voice, but even more the talent that it is to have a multi-language aspect to you. So, for instance, we heard the first one, which was in Spanish, and now we hear the other one that is in English. That's absolutely amazing.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, that's my idea. You know, like sometimes I feel like writing in Spanish, sometimes in Catalan, sometimes in English. I just cannot decide. You know, it's like having three kids. How are you going to decide, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So it just goes with the moment, you know?
I agree with that because I have three kids. And talking about kids, at what age did you start, you know, your love for music? And who was your musical influence?
I started like maybe singing like Disney songs. I never had a musical education since I was a kid. But when I was like early teenager, maybe let's say 13, 14, that's when I really started like songwriting. And yeah, I was very influenced by some pop, soul, R&B, like Michael Jackson,
yes,
Queen,
yes,
rock bands, grunge, rock, like a little bit of everything. But yeah.
Nice eclectic genre there.
Eclectic for sure.
Absolutely. That's awesome.
Well, Hannah's one of our co-hosts. She mentioned how artists say that they have visuals in mind when they're creating a song. I know Distancia won Best Music Video of 2020 in Short Film Festival. Do you have the ideas for music videos when you're making music?
I do. Actually, I really do. When I write, I visualize a lot. I'm a very visual person. So when I'm describing things, I'm always visualizing what I see. So yeah, totally.
All right. So let's talk about Distancia. And before we do that, we have the pleasure to bring in the crew that created this amazing music video, this award-winning video. So we're going to welcome to the show producer Marcus Bellringer Bell. Marcus, are you there with us?
I'm here. Hello. Thanks for having us on.
And we also have the director of the music video itself, Stephanie Rojo.
Hi, how are you?
All right, welcome, guys. So I have a question. Like we mentioned before, it wins the awards. As mentioned, Christina, who came up with the concept for Distancia?
We've been thinking very close with Stephanie, having a concept very like artistic. And I don't know how I saw the painting of Matisse in some post of Instagram with another band that I know. And I was like, oh, this is the concept. This is the distance concept. From there, we've been thinking about everything together with Stephanie. She's been, you know, the brain in this concept for like directing the video. So yeah.
I think if we go back to the originating kind of concept of the song, we were really looking to capture a bit of Christina's background as well as my background, you know, R&B and hip hop music and pop music. And so there's a bit of a clash or marriage of cultures as well as genre inside of the song. And I think what Stephanie and the team came up with in collaboration just really kind of highlighted each other's, you know, our individuality as well as captured the mood of the song in a very particular way.
So you guys basically utilize everybody's strength. Just everybody added their one little piece of the puzzle. Because, I mean, the video is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. I mean, first we like... One thing is like the concept of the song, as Marcus said, you know, he explained like great what we were coming from to create the song. And then, then we came up with the concept for the video. So, yeah, everybody put a little bit from the team.
Well, you know me, I always coming up with some crazy ideas. I haven't seen the video, but the video seems seductive. I see a guy from the poster cover there with masks, and I wanted to ask, was the guy hot? Like, was he like suffocating with the masks on? Like,
well, when we did the shooting, it was very hot. It was like in summer, and it was totally hot. But you know, wearing the fabrics and stuff. But this is, I don't know how to say it in English, but I'm gonna say it in Spanish because I know that there are a lot of Latin listeners here. So in Spain, we would say like, son gajes del oficio. Like, if we gotta be, si tienes que pasar calor, hay que pasar calor porque hay que actuar and we gotta make it work. So, gajes del oficio, chicos.
Ay, I love it.
Ese video estaba caliente.
I like when they speak to las tetas.
Caliente.
I love it.
And to be honest, I think, Tigger, I was trying to find out if the guy that you were doing the video with was hot. As in, like, was he hot?
Also, that was another question, too, but I didn't want to ask too many, you know?
Do we need to make a love connection for you?
I don't know. But
but wait a minute. We got to take off the fabric first.
Any pictures first, and then I'll let you know. You know, I'll DM you and let you know. You know.
Yeah, hit me up on Instagram. I'm going to connect.
Yeah, love connection.
Now, mind you, this is the second show where Tigger is trying to take whatever model or actor is actually participating in some type of thing. So by the time we finish, all of the talent is going to be at her house.
She could take them jet skiing. I mean, come on.
Yeah, man. 2020, y'all. You don't know what's going to happen.
That's amazing. Now, Marcus, if I went through all your credentials, we'd have to have a separate segment dedicated just for that show. Like, I mean, the list of credits includes Shalita Burke, Nicki Minaj, Snoop Dogg, Timbaland. You work with, like, Sony, HBO, Netflix, worldwide brands such as McDonald's and General Mills. You are already a CEO of a production company called Bell Ringer Productions, which does music sync licensing. And you're a social media influencer, which has over 100,000 fans across social media platforms and has received over 300 million impressions collectively. When did you become a part of this project?
Well, first of all, I just want to say that I feel very fortunate to, one, have a career in the music industry, you know, where so many people struggle to you know, kind of make it and get their ideas out and get in the marketplace. And I just feel very fortunate to be able to collaborate with great artists like Christina and great teams, directors like Stephanie and so forth. So for me, I've been in the music industry literally my entire life. I started playing piano when I was 2 years old. I started a record label when I was 12 years old. And so I'm a bit of a lifer. And so I've looked for interesting projects. And me and Christina, we've been working together, what has it been, almost 2 years now, right, Christina?
Yeah, like 2 years and a half. Almost.
Yeah. So I was speaking at this event and there were a few people there, like Scott Page from Pink Floyd and a whole other Richard Gibbs. And we were asked to speak at this event for artists. And there were some great artists in the room. And so after giving this presentation, I meet Christina. And Christina was sharing with me that she was from Spain. And, you know, she sent me links to her music and so forth. And I was like, oh, wow, okay. You know, Christina's a star in Spain. And I love working with international artists. And I've been fortunate to work with Latina artists as well as Indian artists, you know, some Korean pop artists as well as Turkish artists, etc. And so I'm very much kind of a world-oriented hip-hop producer, if you will. So what I heard was buzz about Christina. So she went back to Spain and we were in communication and contact, and she came back to LA. And I think, Christina, you were on tour when you were here in the States when we met, right?
Yes, I was doing a little tour for a couple of months.
Yeah, and then I heard that she missed her flight just to come to the event.
That was destiny. If she missed her flight, it was meant to be, yo. That's where I see it.
Yeah, but like I missed that flight on purpose in order to attend to that day where they had like all these speakers. And I was like hesitating, like, oh, should I take the flight or should I? Because I got invited to that. But I was like, no, like I have my flight back to Spain. But then I was like, hold on a minute. I opened my passport that night and I was like, you know what? I'm going to go there. I'm going to stay my stay like a couple of more weeks. And then that's where we met. So sometimes you got to miss a flight, not catch a flight, but miss a flight to change your life. So that's what I did.
You went with your instinct. You always got to go with your instinct.
Yes, totally. Totally. And that's where I met Marcus and a lot of people from the community that we are very, you know, in touch with. So That was wonderful. I'm blessed. Yeah. I'm blessed to have met Marcus.
Yeah. And I, you know, I'm blessed to have met Christina as well. And to be able to collaborate with a talented artist that is not just a singer. You know, Christina plays instruments. She's also produces. She can get behind the engineering boards as well, which I have a thing about the music industry that women don't get their just due as producers. So a lot of times artists don't know that they're producing, right? I'm all about kind of sharing and collaboration and so forth. And so the Distancia is a co-production between the two of us, and what she added for the production of it, you know, holds so much value. So really it is a merger of two worlds. And it was a great opportunity for me to get back into the Latin community because I was doing reggaeton way back in the day. and so it was a great opportunity for me to, you know, kind of step back into the Latin world. And I really believe that now's the time for Black and brown people to really rise up in all industries. And so I'm very happy to be on this show with you all and you know, us be a representation of that.
And that's actually what we're going for. That's definitely what we're going for here.
Definitely. So let me ask you, Mr. Marcus, I don't want to bypass those credits, but what was it working with like Nicki Minaj and Snoop and Shalita Burke? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So there's a fascinating thing about being a music producer in these times. So when I first started producing music, I was in the jazz world and a jazz musician, and I started in classical, and then I started playing jazz piano, and I was basically performing, sitting in with a lot of big jazz artists when I was a kid. So like Ellis Marsalis, I remember, you know, Roy Hargrove and so forth, because I went to Berklee School of Music up in Boston. So back then, the technology wasn't all that great. But now, technology is such that you can collaborate with anybody and never meet them. So, for example, I had a hit in one country, a number one K-pop song, okay, in Korea, and I've never met the artist before.
Wow, look at that.
Right? And so...
Interesting.
Yeah, not in person. And so it's an interesting phenomenon, the technology that allows us to have collaborations like that. And, you know, and I've met a lot of the artists that that I produce, and then I've not met some too. so
wow.
Yeah. And it's funny because I remember I was in some country and I ran into an artist, and I was just like, oh, yeah. Oh, I'm the one that wrote blah, 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 blah. They're like, what? You're the one that wrote this one?
I'm sure their minds were blown.
Right. That was my hit. So, yeah. So it's kind of like that. Hopefully I answered your question.
Nice. Nice. That's awesome.
Now, Stephanie, you directed the film. How did you visualize the idea for the video? Because they're saying the concept is yours, that you came up with it. How did you visualize that?
Yeah, so it was working team with Marcus, Christina. We want to represent the lovers and the division that they have, as the lyric says. There is like a disconnection between them. There is like a frustration that they can be even closer, even if they are closer, like they can be more close, you know? So we wanted to do something artsy, and we were brainstorming a lot with them. And then we figured out, okay, this painting of Magritte has that, you know, that representation, the lovers. So we choose to do that, and that's how the idea started.
Stephanie, did you imagine that you guys will win Best Video and that you would win Best Director? That must be amazing.
Yeah, I mean, we are so grateful for that. The festivals receive us good, so we were really happy for that. We couldn't imagine before. We did like the best that we could do when we were shooting and planning, but the festivals really, really like Distancia.
It's really... fantastic, because it's been so many wins in various film festivals.
Yeah, I was actually, when we were talking about the awards, I was like, wow, man, it's not just one, it's three. And you're saying multiple festivals. So, Marcus, what other festivals have you guys won in?
Yeah, Stephanie can lay them out. They keep coming. And I'm like, I'm so excited about it because these are some of my first film festival awards to share with. And so, you know, it's like a year of firsts.
Yeah, the next festivals we're going to be in, it's going to be one in London, Live Up Festival, and then one in New York. That those are the ones that are coming. So we are really excited for that, too.
All right, well, back with popular demand, here is the award-winning song, Distancia.
Susurrar. Desabróchame el último botón. Lánzalo al mar. Más cerca, más. Que no te siento. Más cerca, más. Que solo siento tu cuerpo. Más cerca, más, más cerca que no te siento. Más cerca, más, que solo entre tú y yo. Ya no prenda más, no puedes estar más cerca. Enlazado soy, como una espiral, pero la distancia es abismal. Pegado a mí, entre tu piel y mi piel, no quepa ni un alfiler, un bucle sin fin.
Más cerca, más, más cerca que no te siento. Más cerca, más, que solo entre tú y yo. Ya no prenda más, no puedes estar.
Time, but you're far away from me. This distance between us, I'm suffering. We're lost, yeah. And it's on a full eclipse. My love's apocalypse. No distance between our lips. You're falling through my fingertips. We need to fix it.
And today you're up in the mask. No puedes estar más.
Nice.
Love, love, love that song.
I like the little taka, 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 like the Spanish that they use when they're dancing, flamenco.
Yeah, that was Marcus' idea, actually.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. I love it.
Marcus
want
to bring the Spanish flavor in me that I think that I don't have, but he thinks that I do. So he was trying to pull my flamenco hidden side.
I love it. I want to do that in Spain. I want to do some flamenco in Spain.
Yeah, and there's like that flamenco guitar that we wanted to bring. And about the question that you guys were asking before about the film festivals, actually there are so many. And as like Stephanie, I'm so grateful. We and Marcus were totally surprised about the prize, like the awards that we were winning. And I have here like a list because I think that it's like, we are grateful to be in a lot of film festivals in Los Angeles, like Independent Short Awards, Indie Short Fest, Indie X Film Fest. some awards, some nominations also in Italy, Venice Film Awards, or Venice Shorts from here, Venice in California, or the Hollywood First Time Filmmaker Showcase, South Film and Arts Academy Festival, Buenos Aires in Argentina, also in Australia, they had a film festival where we had official selection. Well, a bunch of, you know, film festivals.
That and, is a long list.
Yeah, so we are so grateful.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And it's refreshing to see that a film that has a very multicultural sense wins awards of this magnitude. And I say that because, Christina, we had a conversation off the air quite a bit a while ago, and I want to include Marcus in this, about how music, you know, you mentioned how music goes beyond borders, and on your website, you mentioned how it's a universal language to kind of unite and inspire. Now, coming from Spain, you mentioned how, you know, your first time going to the Latin Grammys opened your eyes in a new world of music and concept, and how the Latinas community seemed to have welcomed you with open arms. Give us a little bit about that experience.
Yeah, I think that when I got here to the U.S., I thought that, you know, I was going to be doing like more English. So that's why I released a last album in English, Sky. But once I got here, I was like, wait, there was like a very welcoming and warm Latin community that embraced me. And they were like really acknowledging my music and what I was doing. And I found that there's like a big family in this continent, you know, even in the country of the U.S. So I think that the language unites a lot, but also because music goes beyond borders and beyond cultures, I think that we have a very powerful combination. So even if Marcus is not a Spanish speaker, not yet, but he's going to.
Well, he will be after this
He
show.
Will. Yeah, like music is beyond everything, but then we have this power of having a language in with all these countries. So I started doing Spanish, more Spanish since I got here. That's funny enough. So I don't know. I think that we have a lot of possibilities in a lot of ways, you know, in terms of community, in terms of like bringing some values and spreading good art and music. I think we have a whole world in our hands that I never saw that from Spain, you know, because here it's a whole different world, you know.
Kind of funny that you mentioned that, because the Latin Grammys is completely different from what Americans see on every day. So we look on TV and everybody's got the J-Lo look that they want on media screen. You look at telenovelas, all of them are, you know, for the same part. They all look the same, ethnically white. And our culture is a lot more than that. And people don't get that. There's so much in music and culture and art that people have yet to see. And I know we had one, you know, we had Cristina and Andres for 123 Andres last week. And they were currently in discussions because apparently even in the Grammys, the nominees of the children's category, all Caucasian. And not that they didn't deserve to be there, obviously, of course. They're all very talented performers and creators. But what does that say to the fact that none of the other nominees were from the Latinx community or the African-American backgrounds, Marcus?
There's a lot of work that needs to happen. I see the Grammy organization is, you know, taking actions and taking steps to try and bring a little more equity, as far as I can tell. And there's a long way to go. But it's acknowledging cultures and acknowledging our humanity across cultures is crucial. You know, we are all in this human experience together. And one of the things that connects us all together, as Christina was pointing to, is music. And what a great opportunity that music is, and the music industry is, as an opportunity to show cultures. And I don't think enough of the Latin culture is demonstrated in American pop culture. And because, as you're pointing to, it's diverse, right? And distinct, depending upon where the origin, you know, the family is, et cetera, or the neighborhood in a city, even.
We are a melting pot of cultures. Like, it is unbelievable how many countries we have mixed into everything that we believe in.
Definitely.
Yeah. And so there's a huge opportunity for us to bring that forth. And that's the thing I love about your show here, is there's the opportunity that you're creating for creatives and artists to bring their voices forward as well.
Yeah, because we talked about, you know, representation, and a lot of people. I know Brianna, our producer, she was speaking to someone today that they were working on, and they were talking about stereotypes, which is another big issue for us. It seems like if you're a Latino of, let's say, darker skin tone descent, we're always represented within the stereotype. We either doing the janitor role, or, you know, we're doing the pickup of the grass role or things like that. And it's very few that are coming out with the leading roles. And I think that we are hopefully turning the tide on that. When I spoke with Brian, you know, the artist, he mentioned how he thinks that there seems to be a light at the end of the tunnel as you start seeing more paths being opened over and over again. And you see the cry now of people demanding, hey, you know, there's more to us than just that. What do you guys think about the path we're heading in?
Well, here's the opportunity. The opportunity is with directors like Stephanie to bring forth that, right? And so, and not only her being a woman director, which for me, you know, when we were looking at options, yes, I found a video of the time we were shooting, and it was like all women in the crew, right? And I'm like, this is the change of coming.
Woman and Latin.
Right? You got to have the both combination. Let's not just make it women. Let's make it women and Latinas.
Yeah, we didn't have a guy camera operator. We had a woman, a Latin woman operator. We had a Stephanie as a film director. You know, we had a lot of women. That's true. A lot of women on set. I love that too, you know, as a woman.
So you know what? I'm going to let our producer come on for a second, because she's doing kind of something similar. And I believe Stephanie's involved in this. So, Brie, you're doing the movie Good Girl.
Yeah, that is correct.
And the majority of the film is very multicultural. It didn't start that way, but it's now very multicultural. Give us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so it is a film to help spread awareness. And we're focusing specifically on anxiety disorders. It was inspired by my good friend, Hannah Bouchard, who's also a co-host here on the Latin Babbler Show, and her story. But when Stephanie and I were doing the audition process of who should play the main lead, Ashley, we had a lot of Latina women, a lot of African-American women as well audition, and the talent was just so inspiring. But the one who really, really caught our attention, she happens to be a part of the Latinx community. And it ended up being also where even our therapist in the film, the mother, the young daughter, it ended up being very diverse, which is amazing. I'm so excited for this, which is going to start at the start of January 2021.
And Stephanie is the director for that short film, Small World.
Can I get a cast? Are you guys not going to cast me?
Or no. What's going on? I don't want you going after the leading male.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, come on. How many men are you going to go after here? Come on.
I can seriously do some, you know, I can just stand there and be like, I'll tell somebody be quiet or shut up or something. But give me like 2 seconds, yo. Give me that 15 seconds of fame, please.
So you gotta get your butt over here in LA. And yes, of course, I would love to have you. Okay. Everyone would love to have you in every set.
What is this? I got the connections and I'm not using them. What is this?
That's amazing. Christina, it was amazing to have you on the show. Marcus, you as well. Stephanie, I mean, you guys created an absolute great music video. Anybody who, once it's out, when is it actually going to be released out to the public? Because I know in film festivals, you have to go through that process before everybody can see it. So when should it be released out, Christina?
With Marcus, we are already checking on that. I don't know. Marcus, jump in.
Yeah, so it'll be coming because we're doing the film festival run right now. And, you know, as you pointed to. And so it'll be either the end of the first quarter of next year or the second quarter. So the song still has, the music video still has a lot of legs and a lot of festivals to complete. And then once that's wrapped up, then we're going to release it to the public in as big of a way as possible. And we'll definitely tap your shoulder and say, hey, it's out. Tell your audience.
Oh, for sure. For sure. But hey, you got to tap ours too. You got to, you know, let them know that you're going to be back here just to talk about it some more.
All right.
To see how it did on some of those other festivals that I'm pretty sure you guys are going to win at too. This video is amazing.
I want to say that Distancia right now is in London Live Up Film Festival from today to December 15th. So you can see it online.
Oh, that's great. That's great. So what will happen is, Christina, you can send me the link where they can check it out and we will blast it out there along with the episode. And that way you can see it live. And then you'll find out whether Mady hooked up with the guy or not.
I'm gonna go in person to London just to go see
that. Adios mio.
And Rocky, you come with me. You like to travel.
I'm single too. Let's get it.
Vamos para allá a ver esos hombres, men, esos tigres para allá, you know what I'm saying?
Madre mía, que se lía una parda por acá. Madre mía. Dios mío.
So, Christina, if people wanted to go, you know, follow you on social media and view your content, where would they go?
My artist name, Christina Malakai. You can find me everywhere, like from Instagram, my YouTube channel. Please subscribe because we'll be like launching this video and more. And Spotify, like anywhere, like all the digital platforms. So they can find me as Christina Malakai. Malakai, like Mala, K-H-A-I.
Are you Mala, Christina?
Yeah, actually, fun fact, if you just put Christina Mala on any search, it already appears.
Mala, yeah. Mala. I like that.
Christina Mala.
Oh, wow. Behind all the seductive songs, La Mala Mala.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. La that's Mala Mala. Mala. Yeah, we didn't ask her that question.
Sí. Malamente. Malamente.
That's it.
Muy mal.
Marcus, my brother, where can they find you?
They can just go to imunstoppable.com.
Wow. Oh, okay. Imunstoppable.com.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's being modest.
Yeah, for real.
If you're unstoppable, just go to imunstoppable.com. You can connect with me there. I actually have a workbook that's there for people to help them find their unstoppableness inside of them and like that. And they'll get that for free if they just go there. I'm unstoppable.
Oh, that is a must. That is a must. So if you're paying attention, imunstoppable.com. Head there now. Get yourself your little workbook. Oh, so you can start ahead on your path.
There's a fun fact that we didn't ask Marcus. Marcus, do you know how to play tennis good? Are you good in tennis?
Am I good in tennis? Ooh.
Yeah.
I used to play in high school, first seed, and then I discovered that I needed glasses when the ball kept hitting me in the face.
I saw that your mom was a good, she's a good tennis player. She was like a champion.
Yeah. She was a national tennis champion. She played in the U.S. Open and toured the country with Arthur Ashe, the famous tennis player. And she was a civil rights activist as well. So,
that's amazing.
Yeah. So I definitely wouldn't consider myself a tennis player. My genius zone is more in the music side, and she used to have me run across the tennis court, and she would stand in one place and I'd be running everywhere. So like that.
And Stephanie, where can they find you on social media?
They can find me on Instagram as Stephanie Rojo, and soon in Vimeo as Stephanie Rojo as well.
That's amazing. And you looking for us, it's not hard to find. Just type in Latin Babbler anywhere and you'll find us on Instagram, Facebook. We have a Facebook community called the Latin Babbler Show Community. You can catch us on our website, www.latinbabbler.com. And for everybody who is here, we are out.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you. Bye.